We greet you this morning in the precious name of our Savior, the one in whom to fear. So the question that was given to us this morning is, whom do we fear? That's a good question. So I got an assignment for you this morning. So if you have a bulletin or an empty paper, I want you to write something that you fear. The fear of man. So what do you do or what do you don't do because of the fear of man? I thought, well, that's going to be a silly question, because if it's the fear of man, they're not going to want to say it. But we'll see what the Lord does. We all fear man in some way. So if something comes to your mind, I'm going to ask for that here as we go along. We can talk about it. Chapter 10 of Matthew is an interesting chapter. A lot in it. And I'd like to start with verse 1 just to give the picture. So if we're talking about fear, we need to get a picture of what we're to fear. So obviously we get the picture here of Jesus calling his apostles in verses 1 to 4. In verses 5 to 6, we see that he sends them out. Verses 7 and 8, he tells them what they are to do. Verses 9 and 10, he tells them what they're allowed to take. And 11 to 15, how they are to react to the people's acceptance of their message. What we see here is there's three different trials that Jesus tells us. So keep in mind, fear. So someone's going to tell you that the state is going to persecute you, the church will persecute you, and the family will persecute you. Are you in for the ride? If we were to send out a sign-up sheet this morning for a great adventure, whom some of the young ones like to go on, very dangerous adventure, how many would sign up? Because that's really what this is. It's a dangerous adventure with Jesus in control. So let's look at verse 16, just to get a picture of this fear. And what we are to fear, whom we are to fear. Chapter 10, verses 16 to 23, we see three different groups of people. We see Jesus, we see Jesus' disciples, and we see the world. What I want to focus on here, I want to give you a picture of the things that we're going to face as his disciples. Verse 16, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. 17, they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. 18, ye shall be brought before governors and kings. 19, when they deliver you, not if, when they deliver you. 21, the brother shall deliver up the father to death, the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. 22, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, or the truth. 23, when they persecute you in this city, not if, is when. So as we look at these whatever you want to call them, ingredients, attributes of the life that Jesus is calling us to. Does that make you excited to step in and willing to go? Whom do we fear? If there's any thoughts that come to your mind as we go along, I know that's long, but shout it out and Normally at church when I teach, I have a class right up front and we just land up having good discussions, but this may be a little different. But if Christ prompts you, please feel free to say it. So as we look at these things here, I want to look to Jesus' disciples now. Go back to verse 16. And this is how we are to act in these situations. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. 17, be aware of men. 19, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. 22, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. 23, flee into another city. So it gives us a little picture of what we need to do, how we are to act as we face these wolves in today's journey. So as we look at that picture, I was drawn to John 15, and it says, actually verses 18 to 27, I'm just going to read 18 and 19. If the world hate you, ye know that it hateth me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. So we get this picture of on our journey, we're in a battle, a serious battle, that Satan is our enemy, and Jesus Christ is our King. He's our Savior. He's our guide. He will help us through all of these journeys. The more Christ-like we are, the more certainly shall we incur the dislike and hatred of men. Only let us take care that they hate us not on the account of our personal issues, but solely for the truth's sake. It's pretty easy to get our personalities twangled in there, then we land up having lots of troubles and splits and trials because of small things. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. But it's for the truth. The truth's sake. Look at verse 26. I want to look here. There's five times here in the next couple verses that Jesus says, fear not. Verse 26, fear them not, therefore. So I thought, why? It's easy to tell somebody don't fear when they're locked up in their fear. Maybe it's something that you don't fear, but they do. So it's easy to say, well, just get over it. Well, when somebody tells you just to get over it, how does that feel? Fear is real. It is real. Fear them not, therefore. 26. Why? For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. That is a reason to fear God, not man. All right? Fear God, not man, because he will, not maybe, he will reveal the things that are hid. You only think you can hide, but we can't. You know, I heard of this week, I was in a setting where the person was telling me about situations that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago that are just coming out, you know, and I'm like, wow, I thought of this scripture. God is God. He sees all things. He knows all things. And he will reveal these things. So when you're sitting at your computer, and it doesn't matter from the oldest to the youngest, when you push that button, What do you think of? No one's going to see me. Wrong. When you push that button, it is public domain. So if you're sitting here this morning, you think you're non-resistance, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a war, and they call you before the Selective Service Board, and they ask you if you're non-resistant. And you say, yeah, I'm non-resistant. I belong to Pleasant Hill. And they pull your profile up on the screen, and they say, how come you check out all these fighting videos from Blockbuster all the time? You know, the world knows more about us than we do ourselves. Be careful. Because what is done in secret will be revealed in the open. That is a major reason to fear God, because God is God. Any thoughts? Look at verse 27, number 2. The second thing, to fear God and not man. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. We need to speak the truth. The things that God, not man, tells us to speak with boldness. And I had to think of Matthew 6:6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's the darkness that it's talking about here. What I tell you in the darkness, do you have a prayer closet? Do you have somewhere that's dark? That you can sort of forget the things of this world? And when now I shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know about you, but I get around in the construction business. There's not many places that are quiet. You get in houses that the TVs never get shut off. The boom boxes and the noise. So do you have a quiet spot so Jesus can speak the truth to you? And when he does speak the truth to you, what do you do with it? Keep it to yourself? Or are we supposed to tell those around us so that we can be a light to the world and a salt and the truth? But the warning here is that Jesus sees and hears what we speak. So Jesus knows that he told you to speak this, and you did not speak that. You spoke maybe what another brother in church wanted you to speak because of peer pressure. Maybe you don't have that here. I know better than that. We're human. And we all struggle. Our tendency is we want to be liked. That's all of us. And we understand that. We want to be liked. But do we understand whom we serve? And every one of us in this room is going to meet him. And what's that answer going to be? Did we speak the truth that God gave us? My prayer this week is for Dustin to preach and speak the truth with all power and authority, the things that God told him in the darkness when he was seeking him. First, we must listen what God is saying, and then we must speak, even if the speaking brings us hatred of men. Whom do you fear, men or Christ? Who's going to determine your destiny? Men do not like the truth. It is like a light to sore eyes. Do we alter God's message according to who we're speaking to? The man with the message speaks to men, but in the presence of God. No man can speak for Christ unless Christ has spoken to him. I was drawn to Amos 8. It's a powerful couple verses there. As we look at today's world, things are just like, it seems like you're just falling apart. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. Do you feel that today? Do you feel it's just, there's, I asked a brother this morning, and I said, when was the last time you heard a hellfire sermon so hot you could feel the heat in your seat? It's been a while. Because what we hear, we say, well, all you want to do is scare them into heaven. I guess if that's what it takes, let's do it. Let's do it. Any thoughts? Verse 12 of Amos 8, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Leaders, are we feeding the sheep? We are accountable to God for that. Is that a reason to fear? Are we fearing man, or are we fearing Christ, whom we're going to stand before? I was drawn to Matthew. I'm not going to cover that. I don't have time. But the eight woes that Matthew speaks to the scribes and Pharisees, they're pretty sobering. And the question is, which side am I on? Look at verse 28 in chapter 10 in our lesson today. It says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you look in that verse, we have all three people in that verse. And fear not them, but rather fear him. That's his disciple. Which kill the body is the world. The end of that verse, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, that is Jesus Christ, whom we are to fear. Not the world, who can only kill the body. Why is this? Because God is judging our actions. We are being judged every day by what we say, what we do, the buttons we push on your computer when nobody sees. God sees. Whom do you fear? The actions and works of our lives that we put under the blood and confess, that's one thing. But what we think that we're hiding, God sees. 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. I had to think, how do I get to that point? In order to really understand that point, I need to believe with all my heart that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I don't know if you've heard, but I just someone mentioned to me here just recently that there's a new thing going around. It's called annihilationism. Not good. in my book. I hope it's not good in your book. Very interesting. I do not believe it. My Bible says eternity is eternity. The gulf is fixed. But we as humans, we like to soften everything up. We say, well, my God is a loving God. He won't throw you in hell. Or at least maybe for that long. And when your sins all burn up, you cease to exist. Well, I don't think so. Be careful. I think if you get to this point, you're worried about pleasing man more than fearing God. That doesn't work. Any thoughts? Look at verse 29, 30, 31. Number four reason to fear God and not man. Because God has placed a very high value on you. Everyone in this room has a very high value to Jesus Christ. And he brings that out here in the parable of these little sparrows. You know, when you're a youth or a child, you sit around the barn with your BB gun and you shoot the sparrows. Your mom didn't care about that. Just don't shoot the cardinals or the pretty birds. You can shoot the small ones. But Jesus comes here. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? There is a principle here of detail. Jesus Christ is a God of detail. Okay? Don't forget it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You ever think of how busy he is every morning when 10 of them fall out of your head? Or 20, or 30, or 4? Everyone. He knew it. That's the detail that my God is. Verse 31. Okay, so it says, therefore, which refers back to 29 and 30. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. God cares about the smallest detail of our life. I had to think of detail, like detail. What verses would come to your mind that describe detail in Scripture? Any? I was drawn to Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. My God cares about details. Very much so. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. That's the picture that we need to see. If we see these pictures of who God is and what our accountability is to him, we can sign up for this dangerous adventure with faith and trust, because our God is there to carry us through and to speak for us. How's our speech in today's world? Do we speak the truth, or are we just quiet? You ever get into a discussion that you, as youth, or even us as adults, we get into some pretty rough workplaces. So men are telling jokes, or whatever the issue is, you don't agree, but you don't say nothing. We can probably say we've all been there. Is that okay? That's not okay. Turn to Psalms 50. It's an interesting couple verses there, just so you know where that's at. Psalms 50. It's an interesting picture. I got it somewhere in my notes, but I think I'm just going to turn to it. Psalms 50, verse 18. So just remember this when you're in any discussion, thinking of whom do you fear? Okay? Starting at verse 18. When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. So silence is approval. But just remember, Jesus is listening. So the last part of that verse says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Silence is approval. That's scary. But as we think of who we're serving, we need to speak. I find it amazing, some of the job sites I walk on, it just gets quiet. No more dirty, and I'm like, I didn't say anything. Jesus Christ is alive and well. Or they say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. I walked into one of my warehouses one day, and the manager was a lady. She was outside smoking. So I walked around the corner. Phew. Said, oh, I never want to be caught smoking in front of you. And I'm like, I didn't say nothing. You know, I said, that's your choice, not mine. But we are a witness wherever you go. Any thoughts? Number 5, verse 32. Verse 32, another fear not. Fear not man, but fear God. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Another powerful, powerful reason that we need to fear the Lord and not man. Because when you take your last breath, you're not going to be standing beside any other man. It's over. You're meeting the Lord, ready or not. We used to play that game as kids, ready or not. Ready or not, here I come. Jesus' loyalty to his Father is unwavering. He is not going to stack the books for you. It is written. It is spoken. He has died. It is now our choice to obey. We deny Christ with our words, through our confession. And again, as we said, we deny Christ in our silence. So I had to think, this fear, the fear of the Lord, what is this fear? So I was studying fear. The meaning of fear. Fear is actually a way to warn the body of danger. Physical fear, and I'm sure each of you have been scared. Your friend scared you as you walked around the corner. I tried that one time as a kid. My buddy walked around the corner and I scared him, and he punched me right in the nose before I knew what happened. It's like, boom. That didn't work. So there's four responses to fear. The brain, the way it works. There's fight, So anger is fear in disguise. We have four, we actually have four. Fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Reaction to fear. So we fight, flight. If our brain does not feel that it can successfully fight off danger, it may decide to escape. You freeze. Were you ever around someone when they got scared? Or a woman when they see a mouse? I won't do what they're doing. They freeze. And some of us do. Us guys, you know, we all have these responses. Or fawn. Fawning is a response where the brain decides to try to please whoever is triggering the fear. So I had to think, okay, that's the physical body. How do we train our spiritual body to react to this fear? How do we do this? Because my reaction is, I'm going to try to please you because I was born into sin, I'm in the flesh, and I like to be liked. I mean, I really don't want to stand alone over here. I want to be liked. Okay? So how do we, can we change our responses to fear? So I was studying that a little bit. I don't know much about the body and all the mechanics of it, but it was interesting. They said that, yes, you can train your body. I mean, like, I don't plan to scare my buddy again around the corner, right? So hopefully you learn and you can train. And it's like, that wasn't a good idea. Don't do that again. So we can train our bodies and learn from that. So how do we train our spiritual bodies to fear God and not man? How do we do that? Any thoughts? To be aware of God, continually be aware of God in your life. Amen. There's a few here. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have got to call on the name of the Lord. If we want to fear God, we have got to call. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him who they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? I beg of our preachers to put hellfire sermons back on the pulpit. I beg, because it's the only avenue. We have got to feel conviction before we're rocked to sleep in the world that is against us. We're just going down that path. There's other things that I wanted to read there, but time is quickly getting away. One thing about fearing man. So any examples that you wrote down that of things that you do because of man? Anyone bold enough to say it? But peer pressure is real, especially when it's your church member. And that only comes when you need the power of God. Is that one or two? That means we're done. We're done, but we're not done. Well, my prayer, folks, is God is real, and you will stand before him. Be careful of the fear of man. Be careful of the fear of man. One thing that hits me as I was studying this, I'm going to say it quick. The fear of man, sort of a comical one, but I find it amusing. I'm into sales, and I love sales. But when you walk into the cashier's line, and she said, you want to upcharge for the disabled children. And he's had that. I mean, it's everywhere anymore. But you care if you want to up your bill. You know, and that's the fear of man, right? The guy behind you heard him say, disabled children. You gonna say no? I doubt it. And I had a whole list of statistics. It's really, really interesting. The fear of man. You go to McDonald's. How many of you say, I'll just take regular? You want a medium or supersize? You'll pick one. Because of the fear of man, we cannot say no. We need to say no. God bless you.